Welcome, everyone, to the Apocalypse Podcast. We're back. I know. We fall off the face of the earth for long periods of time, and then we come back. And I think it's just a giant cry for help. We just want someone to desperately notice us. That's what we want.
And it's working so well.
Oh, yeah. I mean.
I was watching the voices of Seth MacFarlane before you came on.
There we go.
That's why I wasn't prepared, because I was busy.
There you go. Well, hey, and without further ado, I'm Steve, and that is, of course, the Right Reverend Dr. Lawrence Van Beek, as we so appropriately want to introduce him. Lair, it's good to be back, eh? We're back in the saddle.
I am pleased to be back, Steve. I'm pleased. Yeah. I went home and did some stuff at the house for a few weeks, and it's been good.
Yeah. So. And I was in a 12-step program. But anyway, other than that, let's move along.
I have a kick sled now.
Oh.
Yeah.
There you go.
Which is similar to a 12-step program, I think. it was made by the Finnish people.
Yeah. Not drunks that they are. But hey, never mind kick slides in a 12-step program. We're going to talk about the Book of Daniel, at least the start of the Book of Daniel, right?
Yes. Actually, we're going to talk about the entire beginning of the first six chapters.
Okay. And where do you want to go with that?
I do have a purpose, Steve.
I know you do. I'm here along for the ride. Trust me.
Yeah. So do you want to just, I'll just talk and then you can jump in wherever?
Really, why change a formula that works for so long?
For all our listeners, this has worked very well.
Yeah.
Talking about the Book of Daniel, and because we did Revelation, many conservative Christians, maybe even conservative scholars, do see connections between the Book of Revelation and the Book of Daniel.
Hmm.
So it is important. It's important. Daniel is one of the books that they call apocalyptic. Sections of it are written in that type of a format. So they want us to have a part in it. It is kind of important. But the thing that caught me, I've been working through the Book of Daniel with my class, and one of the things is that that Daniel, everybody gets the idea that Daniel and the three Hebrew kids, like his three friends.
I absolutely love that.
there were others, right? Yeah, Shadrach and Benny, if you ever watched VeggieTales. that's the three boys when they were worshiping the 90-foot chocolate bunny.
Yeah,
which I like very much, but so Daniel goes into captivity around 605 BC. The main captivity of Judah is 586 BC, but Daniel goes into captivity closer to 605. They think that Babylon had come in.
Mm-hmm.
Nebuchadnezzar had just taken over. Babylon had come in, and they had removed the best and the brightest in their first sweep.
Yeah,
and they brought them into Babylon, and they did this with all the countries, right? They would go take over a country, this is a patriarchal system, so they're looking for the best of the young men, and they're bringing them into the country, and they're training them to work in the government of the new country.
Mm.
And so that this is what they did with Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which their names were what? Azariah, Hananiah, and some other guy, some other Ayah.
It's not important, to be honest with you.
Well, the funny thing is Azariah is the one I used to forget. Now it's the other guy. I always remember Hananiah. But so they take these four and they bring them in and they start training them up in the ways of the Babylonians, right? They take them to the main city there and they're training them. And that's that big piece with Daniel where Daniel says to his keepers, he says, look, we're Jewish people. We don't want to eat the king's food. If you just feed us beans, lentils, if you just feed us lentils and vegetables, then we'll be happy with that. And the guy's really nervous, and he allows them to do that. And they do this as a tribute to the god that they serve. And you remember, as time goes on, they're fitter and they're smarter and they're stronger than all the other boys, which is a miracle from God, because I don't think you get stronger than the other boys eating vegetables. Like, you got to have meat in your diet, right?
Yeah.
And remember, we talked about this before, that I watched Huntley Street one time, and there was somebody on there, great show, like really important show, but there was someone on there saying that God had showed her that we should all eat beans because this is the Daniel diet, and it would make us all stronger and smarter and wiser. But if you read Daniel, if you read later on in Daniel 10, you'll find out that he was eating choice food by that point in time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So Daniel's there. The reason I want to talk about the whole first six chapters is because so much happens that we know from Sunday school.
Right.
So, like for instance, you tell me one and I'll...
Well, we have Daniel's in the lion's den. We have the writing on the wall. We have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? Like, hey, you're in the furnace, and what's this fourth guy doing in there all of a sudden? You know, all these great stories
from Daniel's life, right?
Right.
And everybody, you get this idea when you're reading it that they're all like in their late teens, early 20s when this stuff is happening.
Yep.
And as it turns out, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, like they have been, they must be in their late 20s by this time at least, because they've been made principal people in the government by this time, right? And the other guys who can't stand them are the ones who talk about worshiping, right? And fall down and worship, and these guys didn't worship. And so he throws them into the fiery furnace. So that's the fiery furnace one. And he says, you know, make it seven times hotter. And the people that throw them in, it's so hot that they actually die throwing them in.
Right, yeah.
Which you can't figure out because I don't know how you get them that close. like how stalwart are these soldiers that they're going to this really, really hot furnace? And, you know, and they're in Babylon. It's 40 degrees there, you know, on a good day. So
yeah, right.
So you're already in the fiery furnace. And then they see one like the son of the gods, and Nebuchadnezzar kind of goes a little bit toward faith at that point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then the next story after this. Now, what's the next story? So you got the three Hebrew children.
Yep. Sorry, I'm catching up here. I gotta unlock the iPad to catch up. So we've got, so we had the golden furnace, right? Then we have Nebuchadnezzar's dream. The second dream comes after that because he has this first dream, right?
Yeah. And you get Nebuchadnezzar's second dream, and that's where Daniel talks to him that he's going to go crazy for a period of time. Nobody knows how long that is. Some people think it's 7 years. Some think it's seven seasons. Some think it's 7 months. Nobody really knows. Yeah. How long can you eat grass? And how long will other politicians put up with you? So we don't know what the period of time is, but when he gets his senses back, right,
mm-hmm.
then he starts serving God, and then he's out of the scene. And then you have your next story, which is what?
Which is the handwriting on the wall.
Which is the handwriting on the wall. And the handwriting on the wall is Belshazzar. And right. Belshazzar takes over in about 539. You know,
mm-hmm.
Now remember, Daniel goes into gets brought over in 605. The lion's den hasn't happened yet. The three Hebrew boys is sometimes after that, sometime in the late 500s. But now you're 539 before this happens.
Right? So Daniel's in his 70s almost, right? Or later.
Daniel must be 70 years old when he's dealing with Belshazzar. Yeah. He's an old man. He has lived his entire life as a mediocre politician. Now, he was head of the magicians, so he had a very important role, right?
Mm-hmm.
But by the time this thing happens, Daniel's old.
Right.
He is old. He is not even a part of the scene anymore. Belshazzar is having this big party, and they bring in the temple instruments, right? And then they see the finger writing on the wall, Tekel Tekel Mene Upharsin. You know, you've been found you've been weighed in the balance and found wanting, right?
Right.
And he can't read it. Nobody can read it. And his mother says, I remember this guy named Daniel, you know, that could. So he's not even the son of Nebuchadnezzar. He's like some kind of a later offspring of Nebuchadnezzar.
Okay, okay.
And his mom goes and digs up Daniel out of retirement. And Daniel comes back in and reads the writing on the wall, and they give him the gifts. Well, historically, what happened here is the Persians were coming in, and they were actually waiting outside the gates when all of this was going on. And the people were so fed up with Belshazzar, according to the historical accounts that we have, or what we can glean from this, mm-hmm. that they just opened the doors and let the Persians in and said, you know, this thing has been horrible with this guy. We're just looking forward to anybody that's going to give us a better deal than we have under Babylon right now.
Right.
And the people that come in then again are the Medes and the Persians.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is when you read these Sunday school stories, you get the idea of this guy named Daniel who is just immersed in godliness, and all of this stuff is going on in his life. And then when you actually read the story, you find out he has one dream when he's in his 20s. He has another dream when he's in his 40s. And then he has another dream when he's in his 80s. Like, he gets these three little snippets from God over his entire life. Yeah. Now, there may have been all kinds of other stuff going on.
Yeah. But all we have recorded is this, right?
All we have recorded are these three little stories about Daniel's life.
Fascinating. Fascinating. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we've built a great lore all around Daniel because of it.
Very much like we do with the Book of Acts, when we say, oh man, in the Book of Acts, they were healing people and their shadow was falling on people and God was doing stuff. And then you find out Acts took 20 years. Mm. You know, and most of us, if we look at our churches over the last 20 years, I don't know about your church, but but mine. Like you could pick out godly events over the last 20 years.
Right. Yeah,
and
yeah.
Write some. And if you look at Daniel's life, I don't know what his life consisted of. I know that he served God through all of it, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know every piece of it. And if you read that story, and then the next story is under the Medes and the Persians when he's thrown in the lion's den, Darius the Mede.
Right. Yes. Right? Yes. Yes.
And we don't know everything that's going on there. Like, we don't know how it all works with Cyrus and Xerxes and Darius and all of these guys. But we know that Daniel was at least in his mid-80s, and he might have been older than that when they put him in the lion's den. So there may have been very good reasons those lions didn't eat him. Like, they were looking at him thinking, oh, man, there's nothing here.
That's some tough meat there, I tell you.
This is the stuff we used to eat back when we were in Christian college, you know. This is rough stuff. But actually what happens then, of course, is they hold off, and then they get a feast because they get the other guys and their children and everything.
Yeah.
So the lions get a pretty good meal. But the big thing that I was thinking about in this is just how much time passes when you're dealing with something like the Book of Daniel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it might be an important thing when we're looking at our lives to think, you know, God just seems to take a long time to do stuff.
Mm.
Like, he can do stuff really fast.
Well, and we want the miracles really fast, right?
Well, I do, and I want them to be fast, and I want them to be all about me and be really, really.
if we distill it down to the core, but I mean, I think when we look at the book, like you said, when you look at the Book of Revelation, when you look at Acts, when you look at Daniel's life, we want that stuff to be, you know, that to be every day of Daniel's life, so we can aspire to a God that does that every day of our lives. Yet, like you said, God's not working like that through these people. He's doing this over a span of 60, 70, 80 years, or 20 years, or...
It's kind of crazy, isn't it? Like, it's not what we want. But maybe it helps us when we look at our own lives and we think just how mundane most things are.
Yeah.
You know, most days we're just going to work.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're trying to keep our head above water, and we're going home at the end of the day. And that's pretty much what Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were doing as well.
Yeah. Buddy, that's an awesome take on this because, you know, there's lots of places you could go with these stories of the importance of the illusion of it. But the greatest importance of it is that Daniel lived a faithful life, sure. But it was over a heck of a long time under three or four different rulers, right?
Yeah. It's kind of an amazing thing, isn't it, really? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the other piece of this story, of course, and this is something that we said before, is that in Daniel's vision, so he has, like there's four visions altogether, but three of them are about the very same thing. So the tall guy, remember the tall statue?
Yeah.
And that's about, you know, remember that's about Babylon and then Medo-Persia and then Greece and then Rome. Now, some don't like to say Rome, so they'll say Babylon, Media, Persia, and then Greece. Some people want to end with Greece. Mm. I'll tell you why in a minute. And then the next story, of course, well, the last one is the goat. Well, the next one is the four beasts,
right,
which are about Babylon and Medo-Persia and Greece and Rome again. And then the last one is the goat and the ram. Mm. So the goat with the one horn that beats the ram, which is all about Babylon and Medo-Persia and Greece and Rome. Or you finish with Greece. Now the reason some people want to finish with Greece and not Rome is because they feel that Daniel was written around 160.
Oh.
Yeah. And the reason they think it was written around 160 is because they won't accept that in 600 BC, Daniel could have so perfectly figured out the progression of Greece. Because Greece, now he doesn't talk about much about Philip, Alexander's father. But he talks about Alexander, and that's the horn that's rushing around.
Right.
Or the bronze. But then later on, he so clearly talks about the four, the division of Greece when he divides to the four empires.
Right.
Under Cassander, who is it? Ptolemy, Seleucid, and Lysimachus. I always want to say Lysander, but it's Lysimachus or something like that. And those were his four generals. And everybody knows when you read those stories, it just jumps out at you. Yeah, those are the four generals, right?
Right. Right.
And so then people say, well, he could not have written in 600 BC or 550 BC and know this history that clearly. So if you're a conservative scholar, you go, yeah, God told him, and he wrote down what God told him. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
But if you struggle with prophecy, if you can't accept prophecy, then you've got to say, well, he must have lived then because he was just talking about what happened in his day. Or right. Just before his day, right?
Right, because your only out is to say he's a contemporary of that event, so that's the only way he knows that.
Yeah, how else are you going to know the event unless you lived there?
Yeah, yeah. Right?
Like, how much do we really know about what happened 200 years ago and what's going to happen 100 years from now? Like,
right, yeah.
Like, what we really know well is what's happening with, you know, Trudeau and Trump. That's what we know. And you can push me back to Trudeau again. And I can go all the way back to the first Trudeau. But I don't go much before that.
Right, right.
And so if I was political, this is the area that I would speak of really well.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Now, I have no problem with Daniel writing in the 500s. Because the other thing Daniel does, he is one of the books where they can pull out pieces of his life to the month. Mm. And that's because he mentions rulers that are historically accurate. There's historical stuff about those rulers. Yeah. And he mentions them, and he mentions being a part of their lives, and we can place them.
Well, wouldn't most scholars, when a lot of scholars, I'm not going to say most, when a lot of scholars say that we see the formation of the Pentateuch even in this Babylonian captivity anyway? So they wouldn't that give it a little bit more credence with that group, or not so much?
Are you talking about the people that believe that parts of the Pentateuch were written in Daniel's time?
Well, so, yeah, like the JADP folks, don't they see that piece of scripture coming together during the captivity?
Well, yeah, yeah. Thank you, Craig Broyles. Yeah, and so yeah, so there is that kind of a thing going on. But then, of course, they'd be writing about that in that period of time. But Daniel would definitely be writing way, way later. And our teachers at Trinity, well, some of them they would say, you know, we're completely fine with Daniel having written it around 160.
Yeah.
But the thing that I wanted to concentrate on was, well, and if Daniel wrote it then all of this stuff about Daniel is just stories, right? But I still prefer to believe that he was an actual guy. Yeah. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were actual guys.
Yeah.
And that Daniel actually did see these visions over in these periods of his life.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Because like you said, because it lines up so nicely with the rulers, he must have known something.
Yeah, he could have picked it up from history, from something that was floating around. But I think he was there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he was there. And he lived there his whole life, right? He lived away from Jerusalem his whole life. He lived in Babylon. And he never says that he's upset with that. He seems fine with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he speaks about Jeremiah. Jeremiah was the one who was the prophet when he was a kid.
Right.
And who was talking about the coming captivity.
Yeah.
That all of the Jewish people were going to be in, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And was not like Nehemiah, right? You know, not longing to go back to Jerusalem and all those types of things either.
It doesn't seem to be that. He seems to be fine with his position in Babylon.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a very cool book.
And
the next time, like, we won't do these stories. We won't take our time because everybody knows those stories. But maybe we will talk a little bit next time about the visions of 6 and 7.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
8 and 9, yeah. And just have just clarify all of this stuff that's going on. And there's a whole history going on around Daniel, right?
Right.
Like if you do his writing in the 500s, well, in the 400s, so like at the end of his life and the beginning of the next, that's when, so Persia comes in and takes over Babylon, and then Persian goes after Greece, right? So Persia goes after Greece, and then Greece, they actually beat Persia. You know, through the Athenians' navy was pretty weak in the beginning, but it showed itself later on.
Right.
And the Spartans, you know, and the other guys that fought with the Spartans. Spartans, the ones we all know, because of Thermopylae.
Yeah.
You know, the legend of the 300 and things
right,
like that.
Right. Right. Right.
Which made a very poor movie, but it was actually it was actually quite a good story.
Yeah, it's a good story.
Bad movie. Bad movie. Even a whole army can't hold off elephants. I don't care what they say. So, yeah. Elephants are the greatest creatures on earth.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I mean, we got that from Tolkien, right?
Yeah. Well, and from our study of Revelation, we learned that.
That's true.
They really are the greatest creatures. But so anyway, so that's the story of Daniel. And the big thing that we wanted to get out of this was just the length of time. Mm. Yeah, that these stories took, and he was an amazing guy.
Yeah,
but he wasn't a minister; he was a politician.
Yep, yeah. I'm just so fascinated by where you took this, because it is such a great take on it. To think this is about a man who lived over 80 years of his life and saw periodic interventions of God in his life, and not that was it. But he just saw periodic interventions, just like we all see periodic interventions of God in our lives.
Yeah, I hope we see the level of stuff that he sees.
Yeah.
But, you know, and maybe we will. Maybe we will.
Maybe we will, maybe we won't, but that's not for us to determine. It's all good. It's all good.
It appears not. Anyway, that's it for this one, Stevie.
Yeah, buddy, that was awesome. Thanks so much for doing this.
Thank you.
Folks, as always, we're happy to have you along on this ride. And what we enjoyed the most is that just the two of us get to talk, and we're glad that you get to listen in. If you enjoy it, that's great. If you don't enjoy it, listen anyway, because who knows, we might entertain you later on. You never know. Could happen. But until next time, I'm Steve, he's Larry, and this is the Apocalypse Podcast. See you, everybody.